We welcome all our guests who are joining us here tonight. As always, we're honored by your presence and know that you are, of course, our honored and esteemed guest. We're also happy and we rejoice with our brethren who are here with us tonight as well. It's always a joy when we as saints assemble together to be able to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Please open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. the letter written to the Colossians. The epistle written to the Colossians, the third chapter, where we will take our thoughts this evening, beginning there at verse 5. The Bible reads, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them." Would you please bow with me in prayer? Our beloved God and our esteemed Father, we praise thy name and we glorify thee, for truly thou art worthy. Father, we thank thee for the life that thou hast given us, and we thank thee for the health, Lord, and the time that we have to assemble together again tonight, so that we may be able to praise thy name in song through the remembrance of thy son's sacrifice, by giving back a small portion of the many blessings thou pour upon us, but also, Father, so that we may be able to meditate, Father, upon thy word by listening to a portion of it through the lips of thy servant. Father, as we continue to study from the book of Judges, Lord, let us, Father, be attentive to the words that we will be taking from thy word. Let us, Father, be able to meditate and to listen intently, Father, so that we may learn how to avoid not to become imitators of those times. That, Lord, we may understand how, Father, a world that ignores you is a world, Father, that will breed the spirit of covetousness. Thus, Father, we ask that you be with us, that you guide us with thy word, and please, Lord, allow us to always do things in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight. Forgive us for the sins that we have committed. Forgive us for the wrongs that we have done. For we pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we took our lessons from the book of Judges, chapter 17. And through the pericope of Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 4 through 9, we were able to see how, brethren, the Israelites never really learned their lesson. We cannot hardly even point the finger, since we as a society find ourselves in the same situation in which they were in. In a situation where God asks still the same question of, where is the wise man? We were able to see how Micah was able to give forth a house that was full of illusions, an illusory house. He gave false hope and he fell a prey into thinking that he was pleasing God when in reality he was doing nothing more than dishonoring God. But now that action, brethren, leads to what we've just read here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. Observe how the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us in verse 5 that we are to put to death the members which are on the earth. Notice that in that list of that is given to us, covetousness is called idolatry. And this makes a lot of sense when we pay attention to what we've read in chapter 17 and what we will be seeing in chapter 18 of Judges tonight. We read the word covetousness, and in the original Greek it refers to a great desire for money, avarice. And it does indeed make sense, because we see that 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you will turn with me very quickly there, 1 Timothy chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells us and reveals to us something very important that we must always pay close attention to. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning there at verse 17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly, gives us all rich things to enjoy. Let them do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time that comes, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Pay attention to verse 17, how it teaches us that to put our trust in uncertain riches takes away our trust from trusting in God. Well, this is why covetousness is called idolatry by the Holy Spirit. Because when we covet or we have a strong desire for the materialistic, when we have a strong desire, we put our faith and we deposit our hope in those material things, the things which our eyes can behold. Well, we are not trusting in the invisible mighty God. Instead, we are trusting in those things which we have to see in order to believe. And thus this, brethren, denies or annuls the very definition of what faith is. For the Bible teaches us that we walk by faith, not by sight. To have faith is to believe in what we do not see. To have faith is to be able to see that which is invisible, as Moses did. Thus, when we go to Judges chapter 18... remember that these final lessons of the book of Judges, we've all put under the heading of a world that ignores God. And we've seen this morning that a world that ignores God builds an illusory house. Once more referencing to Micah's house of gods. In chapter 18, we see that a world that ignores God breeds the spirit of covetousness. And as we established, that means then that it breeds this mentality, it breeds this spirit which deposits its trust and reliance on the materialistic. It makes a strong desire for the riches of this world. It puts a strong desire in wanting what they can, what one cannot have, because he sees how another who does enjoys and thrives off of it. Well, this is why the Bible says that covetousness is idolatry. Because the reason we want it is because we think that we can find joy, we can find security, and that we can find peace in those earnings or materialistic gains that our neighbor may have. We are deceived because we think that they are thoroughly enjoying it. Thus we must bring to mind how that story of the rich man and Lazarus proves otherwise. Even though the rich man, the Bible says, feasted sumptuously every day, observe that it did nothing for him in the afterlife. His covetousness became his own demise. Thus, when we come to Judges chapter 8, we see then how, or 18, excuse me, we see then how a world that does not trust in God, a world that ignores God, will indeed breed the spirit of covetousness. Because if we are ignoring God and His Word, and if we are not obeying His commandment, well then this means that we do not trust Him. This means that we have not deposited our faith in Him. In Judges chapter 18, observe how there, in chapter verses 1 and forward, the Bible begins to tell the story, or continues the story that we left off this morning. In those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days the tribe of the Danites was seeking an inheritance for itself to dwell in. For until that day their inheritance among the tribes of Israel had not fallen to them. So the children of Dan sent 5 men of their family from their territory, men of valor from Zorah and Eshtal, to spy out the land and search it. They said to them, "Go search the land." So they went to the mountains of Ephraim, to the house of Micah, and lodged there. While they were at the house of Micah, they recognized the voice of the young Levite. They turned aside and said to him, "Who brought you here? What are you doing in this place? What do you have here?" He said to them, "Thus and so Micah did for me. He has hired me, and I have become his priest." So they said to him, "Please inquire of God that we may know whether the journey on which we go will be prosperous." And the priest said to them, "Go in peace. The presence of the Lord be with you on your way." So the 5 men departed and went to Laish. They saw the people who were there, how they dwelt safely in the manner of the Sidonians, quiet and secure. There were no rulers in the land who might put them to shame for anything. They were far from the Sidonians, and they had no ties with anyone. Then the spies came back to their brethren at Zorah and Eshtaol, and their brethren said to them, "What is your report?" So they said, "Arise, let us go up against them, for we have seen the land, and indeed it is very good. Would you do nothing? Do not hesitate to go and enter to possess the land. When you go, you will come to a secure people and a large land. For God has given it into your hands, a place where there is no lack of anything that is on the earth. Notice the parallels between the Danites and Micah, how we last left them in chapter 17. They believed that God was in favor with what they were about to do. They believed and they fell prey to their own delusion because they believed that the Levite priest that was in the house that Micah had constructed was indeed speaking on behalf of God. But brethren, we know and we understand that in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, God had declared that they would have to go to the house that He had assigned in the place where He had determined. In the mounts of Ephraim was not where God had determined, nor was there a place there that God had permitted to be erected. Thus we see that these men, again chapter 17 verse 6, notice how it is echoed in chapter 18 verse 1, the lack of spiritual leadership, the lack of anyone doing and upholding the law of the land, the law of God. Thus, the covetousness that is read here, and we see, is that these men were wanting to conquer a land that was living in peace. Now, it's interesting because in our first point, we notice that through the Danites, the spirit of covetousness is revealed, and as we left off, a convenient religion. We see that they, instead of going to Shiloh, come here to this house in the mountains of Ephraim, and because they knew the priest, they ask him to consult God on their behalf. Now, pay attention to the fact that they are not understanding that this was not a priest of God. That this was not a priest that was approved by the God of Israel. Because they were not in Shiloh. This was not his tabernacle. And he was not, and they were not inquiring through the Ummim and the Thummim. All of these remained there in the possession of Aaron and his descendancies, and at this time, during this period, in Shiloh, where God had allowed the tabernacle to be risen. But because they were wanting to hear a favorable word, because they wanted to find some kind of words of comfort that would encourage them to go and commit such atrocity that we read of in verses 11 and forward. We see that they went to a God that would agree with them. They found a priest of their own convenience. And thus this, brethren, is the very spirit of covetousness. If you will, go with me to the second letter written to Timothy. Second letter written to Timothy. Observe what the Apostle Paul tells us there in regards to this. Second letter written to Timothy. Chapter 4. And observe verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have each itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. This is exactly what the Danites did. Now remember, we started with Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 through 7. The scripture tells us in the beginning of verse 5 that we are to put to death those members which are on earth, meaning we have to put to death these materialistic snares. We take from this list the last one, which is covetousness, that is idolatry, says scripture. And we take from this one because we see in the example of the Danites that because they are a world that ignores God. And it is clear that they were ignoring God because instead of going to Shiloh and speaking to Phinehas, who was the son of Aaron, the chief priest, they go to this unnamed young Levite at the house of Micah in the mountains of Ephraim. The spirit of covetousness, brethren, is seen in a convenient religion. This is what 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 is describing. A convenient religion. That is to say, a religion that is convenient to my needs. A religion that aligns with my desires. A religion that will condone my sinful actions. This is why, brethren, we notice in chapter 4 of the same letter, verse 2 and then verse 5, God, through His servant Paul, exhorts us to be sound in doctrine, to not fall prey to preaching, to the itching of the ears, that we must not be afraid to speak God's word in its entirety, not adjust our lessons and not adjust our worship, our convictions, so that we can be convenient to the people. Thus the question must be asked, who then is the object of our worship? Hence the spirit of covetousness. In idolatry, brethren, God is not the object of our worship. We are. Because you see, that image, whether made out of gold, whether made out of stone, silver, or whatever you may want to make it out of, is nothing more than a projection of us self-worshipping. We, essentially, through idolatry, are trying to make ourselves God. We want to make ourselves a creator. And we want to then also dictate the terms, our own terms of salvation. This is seen in the example of the Danites. We see how the Danites were clearly thinking the same way. There was no reason for them to go into this land and to conquer without God having given the order. We read in the book of Joshua that they had already all received the inheritance. The land had been given to them, and no good promises, the book of Joshua, had not been kept by God. Thus, this proves that these 600 band members of the tribe of Dan were a group, a select group that was rogue, who was simply trying to greedily take a land for themselves. Hence why they didn't go to Shiloh. Hence why did they not consult the leader of the time, whichever judge was in power at that time? More importantly, why they did not go to Shiloh to consult of the Lord from His priests in the house that He established. We mentioned this also in the example of Abimelech, if you recall when we studied that about the bramble among the trees. Abimelech did not go to his brethren and his brothers from Gideon. He went to the sons of his mother in Shechem for the same reason. He went and he surrounded himself with people who thought like him. People who would give him that support. People who would give him the words that he wanted. But brethren, when we ignore God, we breed a spirit of covetousness because we have a strong desire to take what is not ours. And when we put ourselves before God, we, brethren, are guilty of covetousness. And thus, the reaction that we take is we will not go to the house of God to consult of His priests because we know that they are going to tell us what we do not want to hear. It will not be favorable, and thus we go to those who will align with us. But if we go back to the book of Judges, observe how this breeds a spirit of covetousness, as exemplified now by the same Levite priest. Now remember what we established this morning, and we said that we would get back to it tonight. Remember how the 10 shekels of silver a year and the clothing plus the housing, how we said that this meant and showed that this young Levite priest was corrupt? Well, observe why we are able to say this. If you will now, go back with me to Judges chapter 18 and begin now with verse 16. That's chapter 18, verse 16. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war who were of the children of Dan stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the 5 men who had gone to spy out the land went up, entering there. They took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate and with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these men went into Micah's house and took the carved images, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hands over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us." Now, notice this portion of the scripture. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel? So the priest's heart was glad, And he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. Here is why this young Levite priest was nothing more than a mercenary priest. He was a priest for hire. He was no different than Balaam himself. Notice how this young priest, because of the spirit of covetousness that was in him, he clearly knew and understood that he was not serving God. Thus, it proves to us that his reason or his purpose for doing what he was doing was because he was serving his own belly. His covetousness. We see this because this man had no loyalty. This man had no grateful heart. Notice that this man should have been one of the first ones to defend the household of a generous man who had been kind to him. But instead, this young priest is basically for sale to the highest bidder. Where Micah offered him 10 shekels of silver a year, clothing and a house, notice what the Danites had to offer him. Would you rather be a priest of one household? Or would you rather be a priest of an entire tribe and family in Israel? Brethren, when we compromise the truth of God, isn't it true that many times it's because of the social status we're seeking? Isn't it true that sometimes it is so that we will not have a bad reputation as a fanatic, a legalist, or an extremist? Many times the truth of God is ignored, or we ignore God, because we are, like this young Levite priest, priests for sale. Or why don't we just call it what it is in our modern vernacular, preachers for sale. We will give in to the fame. We will give in to the money. We will give in to the social status. Although we know that what we share is not truth. Because if we share truth, that is what's going to make the crowds leave. That is what's going to make the people unfollow us. That's what's going to make them say, don't go there because that person who preaches there never speaks favorably of me. Well, wait a minute, isn't that what King Ahab said himself about Micaiah? Micaiah, who said, as the Lord liveth, what he speaks, that shall I speak. And when he did speak, did not the king tell King Jehoshaphat that this is why he despised, this is why he hated that prophet? Was it not the same king who, when he saw Elijah, said, is it you, O troubler of Israel? What if Elijah and Micaiah, like this young Levite priest, would have compromised the truth? They would have ignored God's word for the sake of having good favor with the king of Israel. Balaam, brethren, did like this man. Or, if you want to be more accurate, this man did as Balaam did. And remember that King Balak of Moab offered Balaam even the half of his kingdom in riches. And although Balaam knew, and Balaam told him there in Numbers 22 and 23, that he would not be able to speak anything other than what God gave him to speak, he still went. And not only did he still go, we later find out through the book of Deuteronomy that Balaam was the one who taught Balak how to get the people to fall from God's grace. All through the spirit of covetousness. You see, convenient religion breeds the greed of a people who will seek what they want to hear. But we also see that a convenient religion will breed deceitful and mercenary priests or preachers. People who do not care for the well-being of those whom they serve. People whose intentions and true heart is not to do the will of God or even, quote, the gods they serve. But rather they always look for the primary God, which is their own belly. You will go with me to the letter written by Jude. Observe how Balaam is used as an example there by Jude himself for the very same reason. And notice the instability that Jude describes there in Jude, beginning at verse 9. It says, "Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke you.' But these speak evil of whatever they do not know. And whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." Now pay attention to the three that are given to us. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. All three of these men had a spirit of covetousness. Cain coveted the approval that Abel had from God. Balaam, we see very clearly, coveted the gold and the riches that Balak had to offer. And Korah coveted the prestige and the honor of Aaron's household as the high priest. It is idolatry, says Scripture. Because all three of these men were not putting the desires of their brethren before their own. They were putting their own desire and making it seem or appear as if it was for the greater good. Verse 12, "These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." You know, one of these is where we want to ask Jude, "Why don't you tell me how you really feel about him?" Jude responds, "I just did. They are untrustworthy. They are unreliable. Because they will always favor the highest bidder. They're not serving the people. They are not serving the flocks. They serve only themselves. A world that ignores God breeds the spirit of covetousness, and it is displayed through the young Levite who served only himself. There was no loyalty to the man who gave him those 10 shekels of silver a year. He had no word. They had reached an agreement. And instead, this Levite priest, the moment he saw an opportunity to go to find greater fame and more money, he abandoned the house of Micah. But he didn't leave empty-handed. He took with him what was not his. He took possession of what was not his. It's curious that the Danites who bring him and convince him didn't stop to think, or rather did not stop to answer or inquire of what makes us believe that he will not do the same thing to us. How do we know that the moment someone else comes by, and a larger kingdom, and more powerful kingdom, or a more rich, powerful tribe comes and offers him a position, how do we know that he won't do the same thing to us? No, they didn't think about that. What they thought about was simply the fact that he said that we would be triumphant, and we were triumphant, therefore he's golden. We know that he speaks to the gods. Thus we must take him with us, and we must take him by force. They serve only themselves. A convenient religion, a mercenary priest. And if you will now go with me back to the book of Judges, chapter 18. Notice that a world that ignores God breeds the spirit of covetousness. that brings about great ruin. Notice what the Bible tells us then in regards to Micah when he returns. Beginning at verse 22, when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the house near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan, so they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods which I made, and the priest, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to them, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Now, it's interesting how Micah begins by stealing his mother's money. And Micah's story ends by now being the victim, thus proving that his mother's curse did indeed take effect. You see, Micah, brethren, if you recall this morning, returned the money not because he was penitent, but because he was afraid of the consequences. It was not a godly fear, but rather it was a worldly sorrow, as 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10 tells us. And yet, as the Bible tells us there in Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10, God cannot be mocked. We will reap what we sow. And thus Micah, brethren, is reaping what he sowed. Notice how when we, brethren, ignore God, we breed a spirit of covetousness. But when that spirit, brethren, is in us, we will then reap great ruin. Micah was the reason all of this took place. Micah was the reason that an illusory house that was trying to rival the house of Shiloh, the true house of God, the one that was trying to usurp the position that belonged to those in Shiloh, the one that established a supplant priest in their house, simply because they were from Levi. The one that was already breeding the spirit of covetousness in Micah, in this priest, and now in the Danites. Notice how he was the author of his own ruin. And as the gospel according to Luke says, his ruin was indeed great. Go with me to Jeremiah. Now, we started this morning with Jeremiah, and it is only fitting that we end this evening with Jeremiah. And this morning we saw there in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 9, how the people of Israel had not changed. How indeed they, through Micah, had built an illusory house. But now we go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning there at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. "Therefore I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and sea. Send to Gadar and consider diligently, and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord." Now notice verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now remember, we started by defining what covetousness is. It is a strong desire for riches or for our neighbor or brother's possessions. We were able to determine that because it is avarice and greed, it is indeed idolatry, because it is depositing our faith in the material goods that we wish to possess at no cost necessary. We were able to see in Judges chapter 18 that this spirit of covetousness is seen through the idolatry that Micah began. The Danites, they served these gods because they were able to take by force a land that didn't belong to them. The Levite served in this house because he was able to have a position that gave him great honor and great money that truly at Shiloh he could not possess. And thus, because Micah did this, he hewed for himself a cistern that held no water. But did you see why God declares this? Go back once more to verse 11b. But my people have changed their glory for what does not have profit. Or for what does not, profit. Remember, the overall theme for today and next Sunday is a world that ignores God. This is the very definition of ignoring God. We leave Him who is our glory, and in His place we put that which does not profit. Micah left God and His glory, and in his place, he had his house of illusions. How did it profit Micah? It didn't. The ruin was great. They plundered him. He was taken advantage. And he will forever be remembered as the fool who was left with nothing. Did you pay attention that only Micah's name comes up in that entire chapter? We don't know the name of the young Levite priest. We don't know the name of the five lords or the five leaders of the Danites. We only know the tribe. But Micah's name is the only one that is mentioned. Not even his mother is named in chapter 17. And why is that? So that we will remember what to avoid in our own lives. Because Micah built an illusory house, but Micah also bred a spirit of covetousness, or the spirit of covetousness, there in the regions of Ephraim with his house. And thus the consequence was great ruin. Jesus said, "He who builds upon the sand, when the floods, the winds, the storms, the rivers flow, great will be his ruin." What is this representative of, or what is this figurative of? Anyone who hears my words and does not do them. When we ignore something, it means that we heard it, we just didn't heed it. Micah knew the law. The Israelites had heard the law, but they ignored it. Chapter 17, verse 6 declares this. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's ignoring God. That's ignoring His law. And thus, as a consequence, the ruin was great for Micah. The very money that his mother had gave him was lost. His lament was not so much because of what he had done wrong, but his lament was because he was left without anything. He mourned for his gods. He mourned for his idols. He mourned for the loss of his priest. Notice what he bewails. You have taken my gods. You have taken my priests. And you ask, what bewails me? Why aren't you mourning over the fact that you violated God's law, Micah? Why aren't you mourning about the fact that you lent and you allowed that your actions in your house lead to the corruption of these men, and that you perverted your own son whom you had made into a priest? But instead he bewailed, he bemoaned his materialistic loss. That's the spirit of covetousness. Brethren, we must be weary that we don't seek God only when we suffer materialistic loss. that our desire to be here is not simply when we have suffered trials and tribulations on this earth. That we must not seek a place of worship where it will be conveniently spoken of words that will simply make me feel good but not heal me. Because if that spirit of covetousness, which is idolatry, exists in us, our ruin will be great. A world that ignores God builds an illusory house. But a world that ignores God will also breed the spirit of covetousness. That spirit of covetousness demonstrated through the convenient religion that the Danites sought. That spirit of covetousness displayed by the mercenary priest who had no loyalty and was ungrateful. And we see the spirit of covetousness in the catastrophic ruin, the ruined state in which it left Micah. All because they ignored God. Instead, each one of these three did what was right in their own eyes. Because never was God involved in any of it. His name was called upon, his name was used, but God clearly was not involved in any of these sinful and ungodly deeds. But we mentioned it this morning. A strong delusion is what we are witnessing in those two chapters of the book of Judges. And hence why in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning there to verse 11 into verse 14, we read in verse 14 the dire warning from the Apostle Paul, flee from idolatry. Flee from covetousness, which is idolatry. We have to be careful, brethren, that we are not ignoring God. Because if we are, then we are beginning to build for ourselves an illusory house, and we are beginning to breed a spirit of covetousness within ourselves and among others. So my friend, tonight, as we conclude, I ask you, where is your hope and faith placed in? What are you trusting in? Are you also trusting in what your eyes can see? Are you trusting in the materialistic when you should be trusting in the Almighty God who cannot be seen because He is holy but is here and is seen through His servants, through His word, and through His power? Don't you want to build on the rock that is Jesus Christ and have a sturdy home that is on Him and allow Him to be your hope and salvation? Well, we began with Colossians 3:5, which is what we are willing to help you do tonight. We can help you put to death those earthly members that stand in the way of your salvation. And by this we refer to baptism. Because in baptism we will put or lay to rest the old man, so that from that watery grave a new man rises. But you have to put to death those earthly members by obedience, an obedience that is convinced in the faith that Christ is indeed the Son of God. Thus, if there is someone here tonight who does not want to continue to breed the spirit of covetousness and wants to instead give life to the faith that Jesus Christ is willing to now activate through His blood in baptism, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.